Well, you're supposed to have some fun with these lessons and not take them too seriously, because the rapture does not, or your salvation doesn't hang on the rapture. And so we can look at it in different ways. And if it's new to you, just tuck it away, because the pre-trib rapture is the majority of Christendom believes in that, and that's the way I teach it. However, if your church has taught you in some other way, please don't think that I'm here to change you. And then I thought to myself, yeah, except next week's lesson. So, you can throw rocks next week. Well, let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, I thank you for the liquid sunshine, how much we need it, how much we need the water to fill up our reservoirs, and you do all things so well. And we thank you, Lord, for remembering us. And I'm grateful that no one had to swim here today. And I'm grateful that our ladies that come the furthest made it, and from Tracy and from Brentwood, and we give you much praise for that. Lord, we thank you for your word, and your Holy Spirit has to teach us. So help us to be open, Lord, to what you want to teach each of us. And Lord, help me not to say one way is right or wrong, because only you and your Spirit knows what's right or wrong. So, but help us to understand what's in your word, and the best is yet to come. And Lord, the thought of the rapture, even today, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. And we'll simply give you all the praise in your precious name. Amen. Well, jumbo jets will tumble out of the sky to earth as they no longer have pilots. Driverless buses and trains and subways and cars will cause unmanageable disasters. Doctors and nurses will abandon patients in middle of surgical procedures, and patients themselves will disappear right off the operating table. Children will vanish from their beds or from their desks at school. People will run into the and through the streets looking for family members. Panic will grip every household in every city and every county when the rapture of the church takes place. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the purpose of the rapture? Why would God have such a thing in Scripture? It's very important to realize that we are in the way. We're in the way of same-sex marriage. We're in the way of a lot of things that homosexuals would like to push through. We're in the way, and we take a stand against a lot of things. So we need to get out of the way so that the Antichrist will have free reign. Also, we need to be out of the way because I believe that the divine judgment of chapters 4 through 18 of Revelation do not apply to the church. They apply to the world at that time. Divine judgment. The Lord Jesus has died for us. He's taken divine judgment for your sins and mine, and that's what he went through on the cross. If you want to believe otherwise, that's fine, but I've got to teach it from the direction that I understand it. So, well, we need to ask ourselves, is the rapture the same as the second coming? And that's the whole point of next week's lesson. If you are a pre-trib person like myself, then the second coming is 7 years away from the rapture. So we will look at all four views. You have this as a handout for next week. Unfortunately, the color didn't transpire onto your handout. But it says on the side, pre-trib rapture, partial rapture, mid-trib rapture, and post-trib rapture. Now, the most popular one is the pre-trib, but the one that comes in second is the post-trib. And if you believe in either of the others, that's okay. Now, this is all new to you. I'm sure it looks like a foreign language, but right now we are in the church age, and what's going to come next, according to Scripture that I can see, is the rapture. The second one, the partial rapture, is they say, well, spiritual Christians will be raptured. Right. Well, that leaves me out. So that means I got to go through the tribulation. I had never heard of that before until I saw it in this book, so I wanted to pass that on to you. And then I think it actually appeals to pride. I'm not very happy with that second one. And then the third one, mid-trib, and I can understand this because the first 3.5 years of the tribulation are peaceful. However, the Antichrist is on the scene, and according to Scripture that I understand, we aren't to know who the Antichrist is. Although I've heard all kinds of people down the lines. I was thinking about this the other night, that Kissinger was a possibility and Hitler was a possibility. And, of course, Mussolini, I guess. But we shouldn't know, because he'll be revealed after we're out of here. And the last one, the post-trib, is that the church will go through the tribulation. And I don't buy that. So that's why you have next week's lesson. So you can hate me all you want. It's okay. My husband brought me the lesson and said, your ladies aren't going to like next week's lesson. He's a leader in Bible study fellowship, so he well knows what lessons, how difficult they are when there's so many scriptures to look at. But you know what? If you can struggle through next week's lesson, you're going to have a clear understanding of the Lord's return. It'll be benefits to you regardless of your position. So, but I hope you saw in this week's lesson about death. It was wonderful. Bobby, who's so good, that sets us up, who works at Nordstrom's, I think everybody knows Bobby. Her mother died a few days ago, and the beautiful thing is her church put up the money to send her to Guam. And that's where she is. But I had just done this lesson, and I said, you know, Bobby, your mother sleeps. That's how God looks at it. And one day, the Lord will call her out of the grave, and you will be reunited. But there's several places. The first one, I just love it when Jesus goes to raise up Lazarus. Because there, it's very hot at that time. The priests and all want to kill Jesus. So they're afraid to go back to Jerusalem. But Jesus says, it's all right because our friend Lazarus sleeps. But I go that I may wake him up. And his disciples looked at him and said, well, then why bother going? Somebody else can wake him up. Of course, Jesus was talking about his death. But get a grasp on that. We as Christians have such a privilege. And then Stephen knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, what are they doing to Stephen? They're stoning him. I thought, that's a strange time to take a nap. No, that's how the Lord looked at it. And David, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. Jesus Christ, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that's 1 Corinthians 15:20. When Christians die, it's as if they're slumbering peacefully in a place of rest, ready to be awakened at the return of the Lord. The words have great import for they convey the Christian concept of death, not as a tragic finality, but as a temporary sleep. And of course, that's where the questions today came from out of Thessalonians. The Thessalonians were concerned because Jesus hadn't returned and a lot of their friends were dying. And they were saying, well, what about these people? What about these people? And so they will get raptured first, and it'll be a wonderful time. You'll get your body back. If I die today, then I get a body that's in pretty good shape. Not this one. And it'll be like Christ. And when I get that, the first thing I'm going to do is walk through a building wall and walk back again. Somehow it works. Anyway, well, you have four views of the rapture, and your salvation doesn't hang on how you believe. So just rest easy. But I think it's a beautiful thing that death is not a finality for the Christian. I wanted to give you 1 Corinthians 15. Okay. This is so often read at memorial services. It says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's this. Your body can't go to heaven in this condition. It needs to be changed. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. So when this corruptible has been put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's our last enemy, is death. And one day it's going to be wonderfully, wonderfully gone. And then 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, Jesus will bring with him those who sleep in him. So that's pretty exciting. Well, what effect, we could ask this question, I think it's an important one, effect will the rapture have on America? As you know, over half of the population, almost a half of the population, rather, believes they're born again. Now, I don't know if they are, but if you take half of those that think they're born again and say that those are the ones that truly are, then that comes to about 28 million. So if the rapture comes and 28 million people are gone, it's going to have a pretty big toll on this country. As we know that most of the Christians are in this country in comparison to others, I think China will be, all of their slaves and all the rest will be taken to heaven because there's such a vast majority of Christians in China. So, excuse me a minute, I got to get comfortable. Take off my leg, it sure would help. Okay. But you know, anything could topple our country, and we all know that. We could have a big oil starvation if the Mideast cuts us off from oil. And you start thinking through the process of that. If you can't get in your car and dash to the store, I was thinking last night, I'd have to walk almost a mile to get to a store out where I live. And but would there be any goods at the store, because everything gets there by truck? So we're really, that is an Achilles heel for us. We have been said in the last few months that we're on the verge of economic collapse, this country. And if that were to transpire, it would be just as difficult as if the rapture comes. How about weapons of mass destruction? I was thinking if a dirty bomb went off in New York City or Washington, D.C. or San Francisco or wherever, it would really bring our country to a screeching halt. Or a severe earthquake in California. Any of these things could put the U.S. in full cardiac arrest, not just the rapture. You can see what's happened in Haiti and how we need to be praying for our friends in Haiti. It's just such a horrible situation. But it would be devastating if California experienced such a thing. Anyway, if the rapture takes place, it would be a great devastation here. I think we would have to go into martial law because so many policemen would be raptured too. And pretty soon you wouldn't have any salt, you wouldn't have any light. And when you begin to think of what Christians have done in this country, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, we are a country of have great mercy towards those that are suffering. And why is that? Because there's so many Christians here, and our hearts go out to people that are suffering. It's if all that just suddenly dried up. Great disappearance of 28 million people. It would. It's something just to think about at some time and think how this would affect our world. We had a question come in the question box, I think it was last week. It's so good. It comes out of 2 Thessalonians 2:6 and 7. And now you know that what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he's taken out of the way. And you can't say that the Holy Spirit is going to suddenly disappear, but the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will be gone. And as I say, we help stay corruption. We take a stand against it. And if we're suddenly gone, then all of this will take place. You must realize that the rapture is a judgment on the country. Because it separates, it separates the men from the boys, but it really separates Christians from non-Christians. And every time in the Old Testament, when you're studying any kind of judgment, there's also earthquakes that go on at the same time. I'm sure you've probably thought, well, there was suddenly a rapture today, how would they explain it? Well, I'm sure you've thought of UFOs and some other things, but I think great earthquakes and the toll in Haiti of those collapsed buildings is just beyond comprehension. I think the death toll now is up to 200,000, and it's probably going to climb from there. It's devastating. So in other words, if the earth is moving this way, people aren't going to be too concerned about people that go this way. They're going to be concerned about themselves. And then we have to ask the question, is there any validity in Scripture having to do with previous raptures? Now, you were supposed to have fun with this, and and if it was anything like leaders' meeting, oh, that's not fair. Oh, no, I don't think that one's right. Okay. So where did I get that weird question is from, this is Tim LaHaye's. He has a book that has all these charts in it, and it's kind of fun because you can chart things. He goes back to Genesis 5 here with Enoch. Enoch walked and talked with God every day, and one day God says, come on up here. And so he left. And then you have Elijah. And if you said Elijah went to heaven in a fiery chariot, you don't know your scripture. He went up in a whirlwind. I thought, what was the fiery chariot for? Anyway. And then Isaiah is a possibility. Isaiah is taken to heaven in Isaiah 6 to see God's throne. I think that's a fair one. I'll get to the one I don't think's fair. Jesus, of course. I hope you all got that one. And then here's Philip. How'd they figure Philip in there? Well, Philip got moved from one place to another. Remember, he was talking to the Ethiopian. God wanted him to talk to Ethiopian eunuch about scripture. So God took him from one place and took him over there, and then he separated him afterwards. But he didn't go to heaven. So I think that's kind of tight. But, and then Paul. Paul got to heaven, got a view of heaven, and he said they were saying things that he couldn't possibly repeat here. Now, but he came back. And then he promised the obvious thing, the rapture, and then the two witnesses in Revelation 11. And if you didn't get that one, that's fine. But it was supposed to be a fun question, not one where you're fighting with each other. Anyway, all those, most of them are caught up. I was also interested in the ones that were taken out before judgment. And one of my leaders came up with a one that I hadn't even thought about. Noah obviously was spared in the judgment. And remember when the angel of the Lord came to see Abraham, he said he was going to, Abraham went with 50 of their 50 righteous people and then 40 righteous. And it got down to 10, and there wasn't even 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, so God blew the place up and spared Lot and his family. Now, his son-in-laws could have come out, but they thought he was joking, so they stayed and they were destroyed. But Jean came up with one I hadn't thought about, was Rahab. Do you think that's a fair one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, fair as Philip. So, anyway, you're supposed to have a little fun with that. Don't take it all too seriously. So, you could come up with the argument, well, the rapture doesn't appear in Scripture. So, where do you get that from? I don't get it from the Greek, because it's not in the Greek, and our translations, for the most part, are taken from Greek. But it comes from the Latin translation. To be caught up means to be raptured in the Latin. And I think that's a fair use of the term. If you don't like the word rapture, just use the word caught up. And, of course, the most important part of the chapter here today for your lesson is, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Well, how does that jive with the verses that say he's going to come as a thief in the night? Doesn't that say it's kind of noisy? You know, you got a shout. The voice of the archangel, you've got the Lord himself descending, and then the trumpet of God. That sounds kind of noisy. Well, I don't think it will be. It will be for us believers. We will hear our name, and then in a twinkling of an eye, you'll be with the Lord. I mean, you'll be walking this way, and suddenly you're going to be taken home. It'll happen so fast. And what will you hear? You probably will hear your name. I think that's what the gist of this is. And I don't know how fast a twinkle is, so you can work on that this week. That's how fast you'll be caught up. This is, and I'm in territory here that wasn't in your scripture, in your study, but this is when you get your body back at the rapture. So if you die today, your body will get cremated, or it will be buried, however you've got it planned, and then the Lord will call it back, and it will be new like his, and it'll be wonderful.
Well, we look the same except for perfect bodies.
Will we be able to recognize it?
I think so. I don't think we're going to have name tags anymore, Corey. And I don't know how it's all going to work out, but we'll know each other. And I put that question in your lesson this week, will babies get raptured? Now, that's a fun thing to think about. Well, if you're a believer, your baby's going to go with you. Don't sweat it. So, and then you say, well, how old will that baby be in heaven? I have no clue. You can wait. You'll have to wait and find out. I have no. But it's a tremendous reunion. You know, if your mother passed away and she was a Christian, or your dad, brothers or sisters, and we will all be getting our bodies. I think it'll be just so fun to get a body that works right. It may take a few minutes to get used to it. So, well, today, as never before, we're beginning to see signs that the Lord is returning soon. The rebirth of Israel as a nation is our big focus. The growing crisis of oil in the Mideast is another big one. The Reformation of Europe, that was our lesson last week. We had a very unstable situation in Europe, and yet that will be the last part of the 10 toes of Daniel's vision, with the mix of clay and iron. It's really fun to see this happen because well, we had a question come in, and I want to get to that in a minute. We have the growing threat of militant radical Islam. Now, I'm an old bag, and I've been around a long time in regards to prophecy, and I can remember when people say, well, that's the Catholic Church. That's going to be that. And then I heard others say, oh, no, that's the Mormon Church. That's why they're keeping track of everything. Well, it's very obvious to me today that it will be Islam. Radical Islam seems to be taking over the world. And we as Christians need to remember to be salt and light in this world. Salt prevents decay, light proclaims truth. So when Christians are removed from this world, you can just see it. You have to remember that it was Christians that started hospitals and orphanages and started reaching out. I can't help but bring in Hugo Chavez here, where he was really bad-mouthing America, and yet we were there right after Israel got there to help in the Haitian earthquake, and he hasn't sent a dime. So things like that really bother me. Then the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit will be gone. Not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit holds everything together, but the Holy Spirit in us, we will be gone. And that's where a lot of this restraint will be, have free sway. Jesus said that the tribulation will be so terrible, worse than anything since the beginning of the world, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be able to survive it. Now, I have lots of reasons why I believe we're not going to go through it, but I'll give you Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And, of course, my favorite one is 1 Thessalonians 5:10, which says, let me go back up one, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. That's really 1 Thessalonians 5:9 and 10. Those are my favorite verses. So we're not appointed to wrath. We'll not experience the horror of the tribulation. And I find that to be an enormous sense of comfort. And that's exactly what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4. about then when we who are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the great comfort that we have, that the Lord is going to come and call us home, call us to himself. I can hardly wait. So, how are we supposed to live? Well, the Bible tells us how we're supposed to live, but I gave you Ephesians. And I'm going to back up in Ephesians 4:25. It says, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, you say, well, you weren't at my house during the holidays. No, it's not done overnight either, but something to work towards. And then Paul gives us in Ephesians several things here in 5:2. It says, walk in love. Be a sweet-smelling aroma. And then he goes on, put away fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness and filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. For you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom Christ our God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So in your own life you need to take a purpose to turn away. You know, don't play with sin. Don't mess with it. And then we're told to walk in the light, and how you walk in the light is to stay in the Word. And then in verse 15, to walk circumspectly. In other words, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so Paul gives us these directions. And today, it's so easy to say, well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I'm not like those people, and so on, and think we're pretty good. But you need to compare your life up against the Word of God and begin to work there. Now, if this were my high school students, when I taught at Redwood, and I taught about the rapture, I used to cut out paper dolls and put paper clips on the back of some of them. Then I had this very powerful magnet, and then I had them all lined up here, and I said, then the rapture is like this, and I take the magnet and I go over the dolls, and they'd go. So I told him, I said, if you have the Spirit of God within you, you're going to go home. And you belong to Him. And that's the thing to work towards. Clean up your life. There's a lot of stuff we watch on TV we shouldn't be. Now, I had a question come in last week, and I was just thrilled to get it, because she said, could the United States be Babylon? And I remembered about 20 years ago when I was doing prophecy, I thought the U.S. was Babylon. But I was really glad to get this book, The Late Great United States. And he has almost a whole chapter here devoted to that, because it wasn't just me that thought the U.S. could be Babylon. And it was because we were so taken up with materialism in the 80s, and I thought we just lost all sight of God. But I'll just give you, read a little blurb here. Therefore, I believe that Babylon in Revelation 17 through 18 is not New York City or America. I believe that the literal city of Babylon will be rebuilt in the last days to serve in the religious and commercial capital for the Antichrist empire. Wickedness will return to this place for its final stand. Then at the end of the tribulation, in the seventh bowl of judgment, God will destroy the great city of Babylon with fire. Babylon will fall and will never rise again. The rise of Iraq in recent years on the world political and economic scene, fueled, so to speak, by its huge oil revenues, is not an accident. The ongoing Iraq war is keeping the world focused on Iraq. The current rebuilding and rise of Babylon in modern Iraq may be a key part of God's plan for the end times. So it's wonderful. So here I'm growing too. I used to think we were Babylon.
Oh. What's the name of that book?
The Late Great United States. It's by Mark Hitchcock. It was written before our current president was in power. Okay, we don't have any time, but is there any question? I hate to have you go home all muddled. Yeah. No. If I die today, my spirit goes to be with the Lord, my body goes, my husband's going to cremate it. Yeah, even if I don't have a body here, because you think back over all the centuries, all the bodies that have dissolved, God has the DNA on all of us, so you don't have to sweat it. Yes. I can't say yes or no on it, so I think you have to make an individual decision on that. Yeah, only Saul. What Saul had left of him, they cremated. So, I don't know. God knows. Anyway, yes.
So, if 9% were to die right now, we would go to hell. So, when we die, there's an immediate judgment, in a sense, because, you know, when we die, then God sort of judges you go here at heaven.
Right. You got a map last week. Look at that. That'll tell you a lot about the grave and Hades and so on. And they're not under judgment yet. But, it's coming. And so if you didn't get a map of the scriptures last week, I'll have a few more made. I think it's really handy. It kind of tells us where we're going with this whole schmear. And I know not all of us believe in a pre-trib, but and I really do apologize, because my husband said they're not going to be happy with you. So next week, you can come all angry, and we'll learn something together. I'm learning, too. So let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you that you're in charge, that you know all about this planet Earth, and you know exactly what you're going to do and how you're going to bring forth your purposes, not only for the whole world, but for each of us. What an amazing thought it is that one day you'll call us home, and we'll be with you forever. We'll have a body that works, and we'll have friends and loved ones that we haven't seen for a long time. And then we'll have the great marriage feast of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, the best is yet to come. And I long for that day when we will be through with this sinful life and we'll be forever with you. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that might not know you, because none of this can apply. We must have the quickening of the Holy Spirit within us in order to be called home. And I pray today that they might say yes to you, Lord. They might seek you out and confess their sins and become your child, and to ask for cleansing and filling of the Holy Spirit, so they too will be called home. Lord, we hasten the day. We just come, Lord Jesus, is all we can say. We love you today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for safety for the ladies going home today in this bad storm. And we do pray for those in Haiti, Lord, that that anyone still living through that might be rescued. We don't know how, but we do. We ask that you, or only you, can bring good out of that horrible tragedy. and we'll simply give you all the praise for what you're doing in our lives and theirs. In Jesus' name, amen.